Hello, and welcome to Pro U Podcast, episode number 285, A Better You. You know, there's a bunch of this lingo I've been throwing around for a long time, so it kind of just comes out all of the same, I don't know, same meanings but different terms, but a better you. So if you become a better version of you, I always talk about, you know, it's just you're a better you. What does that mean? Well, it's easier being you, and I feel your life as is easier, is better. You enjoy it more. So there's not a whole lot that changes. It's not you lost weight. It's not that you grew taller. It's not that you changed your hair color. It's not that you got a new job, new spouse, child, more money, new car. None of that. As is, you, just as you are, and your world, just as it is, but both are better. It's easier to be you. It's easier to manage and navigate your life. And that is kind of what this whole pro-you thing is about. And that pro-you path has always been a very, you know, a personal, you know, it's different for everybody. You know, you got to navigate your own pro-you path. The good news, the upside of all this stuff is the fruits of your labor when you're doing good. And that's kind of what prompted this whole episode was I've just got some clients that are just beaming, glowing, shiny, pro-you. Now, you know, a couple of them are still in it and they're not quite aware how wonderful, bright, and shiny that they are currently. And that's why I've been pointing it out. But it was just like 2 days in a row of talking to clients and going, wow, I don't think there's a whole lot more I can teach these folks because they're just doing so well. But that's when I stopped and I was like, okay, I know what I thought about for 48 years. I know what was in my head. I know what the conversation, I knew what the white noise was. I knew what the voice was. And now I can stop and go, that person that's doing so wonderful, whether it's personal client or online client, and you get to experience that with them. You're part of their journey. You're part of their joy that they're experiencing right now. So again, when I'm talking about yellow and purple, you know, it was yellow. What was in my head was not good, didn't make me feel good, but I didn't think I had a choice. I didn't know I had a choice. And now I'm feeling it with purple. So in these wonderful client moments where they're, you know, just demonstrating all of the time and effort that they put into controlling the things they can and letting go of the things that they cannot. And you just see it. Just, you know, it's just beaming. And it's not because they're going, oh, look, I did this wonderful thing. And they're just telling me about their life. They're just telling me how they dealt with it. They're just telling me how they responded. They're telling me how they slowed down. They paused. They reflected. They're different now. They're looking at things differently because of that. And again, it fills my heart. I'm so thankful that I get to do what I do, that I get the podcast, and I get to reach out to people and hopefully help and inspire them. And then there's, you know, my clients, and it just fills my cup. My cup runneth over. So I'm chatting about those folk and reading a few things like I typically do. So thank you for listening. You're so appreciated. If you have any comments or questions, holler out proupodcast@gmail.com. And if you head to iTunes, search Tom Dieters. You can bring up the ProU Podcast. You can give it a rating. And I thank you in advance if you do so. And thank you to all the people that have left wonderful, just heartwarming comments on iTunes page for the ProU Podcast. So thank you, and enjoy. Go placidly amid the noise and haste, and remember what peace there may be in silence. As far as possible, without surrender, be on good terms with all persons. Speak your truth quietly and clearly, and listen to others, even the dull and ignorant. They too have their story. Avoid loud and aggressive persons. They are vexations to the spirit. If you compare yourself with others, you may become vain and bitter. For always there will be greater and lesser persons than yourself. Enjoy your achievements as well as your plans. Keep interested in your own career, however humble. It is a real possession in the changing fortunes of time. Exercise caution in your business affairs, for the world is full of trickery. But let this not blind you to what virtue there is. Many persons strive for the high ideals, and everywhere life is full of heroism. Be yourself, especially. Do not feign affection, neither be cynical about love, for in the face of all aridity and disenchantment, it is as perennial as the grass. Take kindly the counsel of the years, gracefully surrendering the things of youth. Nurture strength of spirit to shield you in a sudden misfortune. But do not distress yourself with dark imaginings. Many fears are born of fatigue and loneliness. Beyond a wholesome discipline, be gentle with yourself. You are a child of the universe, no less than the trees and the stars. You have a right to be here, and whether or not it is clear to you, no doubt the universe is unfolding as it should. Therefore, be at peace with God, whatever you conceive Him to be. And whatever your labors and aspirations, in the noisy confusion of life, keep peace with your soul. With all its sham, drudgery, broken dreams, it is still a beautiful world. Be cheerful. Strive to be happy. Max Ehrman, Desiderata, 1952. I liked a lot of that. One of those things, again, I collected. And I was very curious. I didn't have the year, and I searched it and found it. I don't know, I thought for some reason it might be older than that with some of the verbiage. But I just loved, you know, again, when it says things like I say, what was I looking for then? Like, there will always be people greater and lesser than you. Be gentle with yourself. Nurture strength of spirit. Do not distress yourself with dark imaginings. Many fears are born of fatigue and loneliness. You know, tired, you're stressed, you start, you know, having all the doubts and fears that come in. It was just, you know, again, be pro you. I liked that. I enjoyed that. So there you go. So this week was a different kind of week. There's still a little churning in my mind about, I don't know, certain things and certain feelings, and I was coming up with this episode, and I really couldn't get completely focused, and I just kept, I had like three different podcasts in my mind the whole time, and I didn't want to sit down until I had a clear kind of message, and that really never happened. So I sat down and just started putting some things together, and I just kind of felt distracted. I didn't really feel kind of centered. And it's normally different. So, it was good though, because when I started getting into it, I was reminded of the wonderful things. So that's what I'm going to start with. Because this is what changed the perspective, kind of the feelings I had, is when I gathered this data that I was going to share. And it's, you know, title, A New and Improved You, just the benefits of that, you know, pro you, what is that? And here are some examples. So I have a client, and, you know, people, everybody goes through things, but post that. Where are you at? What are you doing? You know, how are you responding? If you didn't embrace that, write that, design that, want that, need that thing that happened in your life. Where are you now post it? How did you respond? And this person was saying that they were taking this class, and they were also taking lessons, music lessons. And I thought, well, when did you? It was today. And then I was training him. And I thought, well, there you go. And it's that same thing, that a fish doesn't know it's in water. Like right now, post that thing happening, you don't feel yay, because now it's a little unfamiliar. Now you're not completely confident in this new thing, but it's like, yes, but how are you responding? Meaning, what are the choices you're making? Like, all these choices were for a better you. If you're putting time and energy into a better you, now you just have to kind of relax, have that faith, that belief that this is a good road. This will end good. I can't do much more than this. And then let go after that. And my client pointed out, yeah, or it could just be a big distraction from doing what I'm supposed to be doing, which I chuckled. So there's a client I've spoken before about, and is about to move and quit his job and relocate. You know, the whole kind of thing, kind of in a way starting over, but almost like retiring. But I mean, just really picking a cool, and it's turbulent when the land narrows and the water has to fit through that smaller piece of land. The water gets a little turbulent, but typically right after that is that Zen pond, and that's an analogy I always share. And I just see this Zen pond, you know, when I'm talking to this client. I'm like, you just got to believe it. You just got to believe it, because I'm watching his path. And I'm like, I know you're walking that path. Sometimes a fish doesn't know what's in water. But man, I'm watching you and, you know, cheering him on and going, wow, you know, you're under 40. You know all that. You've got all this in clarity. You've got a perspective. He really kind of understands the pro you things. Like, okay, I got this much. I'm just going to go with that, Tom. I'm just going to do this. And it was, you know, one of the hardest ones. And he's just doing it. Like, he's excelling at it. And it's a joy to listen to him. And I mean, oh, he's got some stress and he's got some question marks along his path. But man, you know, being in his life and watching him, I sincerely just have this X amount of joy for him. And I know he's going to do it and make the move and get there. And it's just fully rewarding. And, you know, before I go on about how wonderful these clients are, I'm fully aware of where I kind of stand. Like, I don't take a whole bunch of credit for where I am. I didn't decide a ton of things that happened to me that made me who I am. Now, I didn't quit and I didn't give up, and that I will say. But I'm just very appreciative to be in these people's lives, because they're just telling me great success stories without even realizing it. Like, they're showing me all the shiny stuff, the purple stuff, the pro-you stuff, and they don't always realize it. But just, like, again, this week was one of those weeks where I was like, well, let me focus on them. I'm feeling a little shaky in my canoe, not really sure why, but you know what? I can just soak up in this, because I am a part of it. I'm not taking credit for it, but I am a part of these people's journeys. So a client I've had for a long time was telling me the story about, you know, the funk that him and his significant other got into. And he just kind of starts out like, well, I kind of felt funky about it when I got in the car, but by the time I got here, I was better. And then he kind of shares it. And he goes, I know it'll be fine. It's just, and right there, I was like, okay, stop for a second. See, you're not realizing this, but I've been with him like, you know, three, four years. I go, again, just stick to the basics. Are you not better than you were X any amount of time ago? Yes, without pause. Boom, great. Now, you just said you got in your head, but by the time you got here, it was gone. That's success. That's way better than you used to do. Yes or no? Yes, without pause. Boom. And you know deep down inside, whatever this thing is will be fine. It'll work its way out. It's like awareness, clarity, perspective. It's almost like, you know, hit the brakes and stop and go, okay, just for a second. I know it doesn't feel great because you felt funky and you went through this thing, but right now in the moment, how you're responding, you could not be doing better, and you have to kind of realize that. And that's kind of the thing I'm doing to myself, is when I'm thinking about something positive, or I'm thinking about how I've, you know, worked on something, like, wow, look at the thoughts, Tom. Look how you've grown. Look how much you're... Because I want that. Again, if I yell and scream in my head, I'm going to move that meter a little bit. Because, you know, 50 years, it was one way. And now, you know, three, almost 4 years, it's been kind of starting to go the other way. So it just takes time. But it's those little bitty moments when we're not feeling great because we're fighting the fight. And even if we have to be reminded by someone, like, wow, look how great you're doing in lieu of, in spite of, whilst you are in whatever. Again, how you're responding, the choices you're making while you're in it. And he kind of had this, yeah, but what I normally would do, and, you know, kind of this old shoe kind of a habit thing. And I went, okay, stop. And this goes into the next client. You know, don't predict how you're going to act in the future based on who you were in the past. In the past, when I went through a moment like this, I reacted like this. Fantastic. What does that information do for you now? Kind of taints anything. So just get that out. Now you're better. You know that wasn't good. That's 2 points for you right there. You're better, and you look back going, wow, I didn't like how I was. So as you move forward, just don't have any pre-predictions. Don't have any like, well, this is where I struggle. You know, this is where, okay, this is where it's going to be bad. I mean, I know I'm not good at this part, so I know. You know, it's like, don't, because, you know, I don't know. There's like three different quotes that are very similar. One's from Buddha, one's, yeah, I don't know where it's from, and the other one's Wayne Dyer. But, you know, when you change, the things you look at change. So when you start growing and gaining clarity and perspective by pro-you choices, you might not react how you used to in the past. You might have something inside you that causes you to pause and reflect and respond accordingly. So, you know, give yourself that. You know, I mentioned in that one thing, that episode, you know, Moshe was like, you know, part of his job isn't exactly his favorite cup of tea. So when he started this thing he was going to do, on the top of the page he said, I love what I get to do. So we go, I love what I get to do. Now there are parts of it that aren't my favorite, but it's not, okay, here are the parts I love and here are the parts I hate. Don't separate it. Don't make it like good and bad. Just, no. You get to pursue this. You get to do this. Now, every little thing that might be perfect, but just realize the big picture, this thing, which includes that little bit of whatever. It just includes that. That's part of the whole thing that you get to do, that you love to do, that you want to do. And again, it's that just a better outlook. I'll move forward better going, okay, I love that I get to do this. And not all of it is super duper comfortable. I'm going to do way better in that mindset than, okay, I get to do this thing and I love so much about it, but there's another part of it that I just hate. See, there's a split down the middle. It makes it black, white, good, bad. And it's just going to be harder to walk forward with that kind of mental picture, I believe. So going to the next client, like a lot of people have a little bit or different levels of social anxiety. You know, to want to speak up, you know, in front of people in public, don't want to be around a lot of people. And when I was younger, you know, going to bars and hanging out was fine. I mean, now I don't like the noise. I don't like the crowds. I mean, I just don't like that stuff at all. I don't even do that. You know what I mean? So there's just, again, people with the same things, just different levels of it. And she was about to go on a trip. And she's like, yes, but, and it was that same moment where it was like, here's what I get to do, and I love this part. But here's the other part that I don't. And I was like, okay. And I kind of just referred to the Mosher story. And I said, look at the whole entity as this thing that you love. And now again, looking at yourself in the past and then saying, well, I'm going to predict how I'm going to, you're better. Again, this client is definitely better. So don't predict with the tainted perspective of your past how you're going to respond in the future. So full circle, sorry about that. Client comes back, has an amazing trip, and she spent more time socializing than she ever dreamed she would have. There wasn't the social anxiety she didn't have. It was just this whole different trip. And I'm like, why? Because you're better, so you had a better experience. And not that it would have changed, but it's like, now have that comfort level. Wow, okay. I typically don't have this X amount of anxiety anymore, or the social, you know, discomfort or whatever it is, because I'm better. I make better choices. I don't do things that are, you know, everything about you is better. So therefore, you can kind of predict the outcomes are probably going to be a little better than they were. Same situation, same person, you and that person 10 years ago and today. If you're better and been pro you, you're just going to be better. And again, I was, you know, talking to all these clients. And I'm like, wow, they're doing so good. Wow, they're doing so good. And I was just proud and I was just happy. And even though they didn't necessarily all of them see it because they were in it, they could all understand it. And it, again, it just made me feel very proud that I was a part of their journeys. Last but not least is a guy, Mr. Morrison, that I've referred to quite a few times as of late, especially. And, you know, there's just, you know, people that, you know, I train, we do the workouts, we chat. There's other people we work out once in a while. The other times we chat. And with Mr. Morrison and I, we just tend to chat a lot. We both dig it, and that's what we kind of focus on. And but every once in a while, I'm like, hey, let's do the workout thing. And let's see how that's going, or I ask me any questions. And the last session, he's like, hey, I got a couple workout questions. It's like, fantastic. And he's like, you know, I was doing this amount of reps, and I was thinking about going up in weight. And I was like, perfect. You know, he's just really got that barometer, you know, X, you know, if it's a guy or a girl, you know, if you're doing X amount, you know, move up. If it's not, you know, that challenging, you did good, you know, just a certain way, but you have to be repetitious, frequency, consistency to build that relationship where you can start communicating with your body and going, hey, I'm doing this. I know I'm doing it right, but maybe I should go up and wait. Why should you go up and wait? Ain't that going to be harder? Kind of embracing that discomfort. And I'm like, that's a sign of growth. And I just loved it. I said, great question. I said, okay, let's go through your workout next session. So we go through the workout, and like three or four things I change, make them harder. And he's kind of hit because, you know, he just got starting to do the workout without thinking again. But that's that kind of, not a plateau, but in this way, you're not shocked. It's almost like you can become kind of complacent because you've done these things and you're getting better at them. And when the client starts, hey, should I go up and wait? It's a good sign, you know. I'm willing to find more discomfort. I'm willing to do this. And also the awareness, I think I should. So it's just this great sign. So we talk how the workout's going, and he's like, you know, the new things you added, you know, kick my butt. But, you know, he kind of went into this little speech, if you will, about it was uncomfortable, but yet he knew it was better and he liked it more and he felt more connected because he had to focus more. He kind of just went into, well, I, you know, when he first got the notes, he's like, man, you're gonna kill me. And now he's like, thank you. So we got done with the session. It was awesome. And I was, you know, stoked again. And I said, well, I text him, and I didn't even, and no discredit to him, I just didn't know if I was clear or not. I said, well, do you think there's a correlation? And if so, what would it be to I'm doing these physical workouts, and how would those benefit you outside the workout, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, what have you. So this guy's a teacher, and he's just the king of getting homework done. And a lot of the things he says and does are very familiar with me, and that's probably why we get along so well. But a lot of times it's like he's singing to the choir, and I understand things, and brother from another mother, that kind of stuff. So I said, did you do your homework? Yep. Were you able to kind of, you know, correlate something? I just like wasn't sure if he was going to even understand what the assignment was. And again, this guy's like a year and a half younger than me. But I still feel like he's like an older brother. And again, he has a home, job, career, wife, kids, family, all that stuff that I thought I would have had growing up. And here I'm talking to someone that's got that stuff. And I like him, and he's reaching out for me for help, and I'm helping him. But he just rocks as a student, so it's just been totally enjoyable. So I said, all right. And he begins. And we started reading the first couple sentences, like, dude, what's with the formality? When I began working with Tom Dieters, I was assigned a workout that was to be done 3 times a week. As we work, Tom observes me and will modify certain aspects of these workouts as I progress. This week, Tom asked me to reflect on how what I have improved upon in these workouts has affected me outside of the workout. And I was like, wow, you didn't have to write all that. But at the end, I was like, dude, that was so cool. He goes, yeah, I got it in PDF form. I know you're going to read it. And his wife, Manny's like, oh, you know, Tom's going to want to read that. Get it in PDF because he's going to ask you to email it to him. So that's why he started out all official like that. But I was like, wow, homeboy just took the homework assignment and ran with it. And again, it was just, he's just always impressive. So he was asked to reflect, and he did. I am proud to say that since we started 10 months ago, I have not missed a single workout. Now, there's so much good just there. Like, if we didn't even chat and he said that, when's the last time he was consistent with that? When's the last time he did workouts 3 times a week for 10 months and didn't miss one? I mean, there's so much good. If we didn't even talk, that would fill him up and make him feel good. That alone. I loved that. But again, here's a dude that has done his Pro-U homework. And now just, you know, the fruits of his labor are just pouring out. And I point him out because that's what I'm good at. I have been reminded that I am disciplined. Now that might, I don't know how people will hear that if you just heard that. Well, you had to be reminded. You don't know your discipline. And it's like, it's a whole new level. Because when you learn your discipline, it's like doing something you don't really want to do. You know, if you've got children, I get up and make their food and I get into school every day. I'm disciplined. It's like, you have to do that. Who's going to get your kids ready for school and bring them to school if you don't? You know, it's like, oh, I got to prep. I got to get up early and prep my food, pack my food. I got to get to the grocery store to make sure I buy fresh food so I can prep my food, pack my food. Wow, I've been doing that. Boom, discipline. Workouts. Was not working out. 10 months later, 3 times a week, hasn't missed one. Boom, disciplined. Being committed to checking this box has reminded me to use that ability in other situations. And that's what I was saying about when he says, hey, I'm reminded I'm disciplined. I can do things that are uncomfortable and do them consistently. And they will bear fruit. Okay, well, you know what? That just I could apply that ability to another situation. So again, he's already growing inside of all these little bitty situations, gathering this knowledge and this extra ability or power, all from being consistent. The workouts have taught me to slow down. Like, that's like the greatest line in the world. Just right now in my life, you could have stopped there. The workouts have taught me to slow down. Done. I wrote one sentence, Tom. Great. Get an A+. Well done. Loved it. loved it because there's nothing negative. There's nothing like, well, I didn't want to. Like, no, the workouts have taught me. You know, when do you say a workout has taught you something? Worked out today. What'd you learn? What do you mean? I sweated. I learned when I work out, I sweat. The workouts have taught me to slow down. Some of the movements Tom asked me to do are awkward and unfamiliar at first. In the beginning of a new exercise, in order to use the technique Tom demonstrates, I have to move deliberately slow. I have to move in deliberate slow motion. I like that, deliberate. That's a choice. I deliberately did that. That was a choice you made. I'm choosing to go slow. Why? So I can do it right. Nuh-uh. Gold. Gold, people. I understand that anything done slowly, correctly, is far superior to haste. And we got all caps on far superior, by the way, people. This is serious now. I understand that anything done slowly and correctly is far superior to haste. I now view slowing down as an admirable trait. And I love that. What a line. And again, I kind of point this out to him, but I don't want to like make it a big deal. But it's still cool because, you know, I got a father that just stayed one way, changed in other ways, but just stayed in one way. No matter what, it was like, I'm just going to view this, be this, stay there. And it wasn't really a good thing for anybody, but it was a choice. Now this guy's going, hey, almost 52. I now view slowing down as an admirable trait. Like, wow, I'm getting things done, man. I went all day. I was just, you know, out there just kicking butt, man. I was checking things off my to-do list. I was whatever. It's like, I don't want to slow down. I'm not lazy. I'm not old. I'm going to keep moving, getting things done. Nope. This mindfulness is beginning to manifest in all my day-to-day activities. Again, his verbiage. This mindfulness is beginning to manifest. And, you know, there's the thing, these workouts, you know, you got to be mindful when you work out. And, I got to do these difficult techniques. I'm 51 and, you know, okay, I've never done these before. I got to go slow. So I do them right. It's being mindful. It's connecting you into that moment. You know, I talk about during the Pro You moment at the end of the podcast episode, you know, connect your mind and body. And when you do that, you're like, wow, this mindfulness, and you get done and you feel a little better. Well, for that 20 minutes, 30 minute workout, you didn't think about anything else. There's a peace in that. There's a comfort in that. There's a calm. The workouts only take 20 to 30 minutes at a time, but I have seen steady progress. The workouts have reminded me that anything, all caps again, that means he's stressing that point, that anything done faithfully can and will manifest itself as a benefit. Boom. Mic drop. Not done, though. Anything done faithfully, consistently, with frequency, can and will, I can and I will, manifest itself as a benefit, fruits of your labor. The workouts only take 20 to 30 minutes at a time, but I have seen steady progress. Why? Because I've done 3 a week. I haven't missed one. Not 2 hours of my day. It's not the craziest thing, but I keep doing it. Take it up a notch every time I feel like I can push myself a little more, or ask my trainer, then he pushes me a little more. Always making sure that we stay mindful about our technique and our form. And I will progress at a pace that is just perfect for me. You know, again, I like when he says I've done faithfully. A little bit of belief there, folks. I find this extremely comforting. See, that's the win-win. He's not doing this going, well, Tom told me and I'm doing it and I think and I hope and maybe. And it's like, no. Like, he finds this extremely comforting. I have started many small projects, and even if I've only 5 minutes a day to work on each, I have complete anxiety-free confidence that progress is always being made. Wouldn't you like to say that sentence? I have complete anxiety-free confidence that progress is always being made. Boom. Controlling that which you can, letting go of that which you cannot. Second mic drop. Still not done. I see that no time well spent is wasted, and that while improvement may not be readily visible, if you hang in there, you will look back and be amazed at how far you have come. Quote I put out this morning, the only sure way to fail is to give up. So again, when I'm like talking to these amazing clients, I'm not ever going, look what I did. I'm going, wow, what do I do now? These people seem to be doing better than me. I'm just, again, happy that I'm part of their journey. But I look back and I'm like, wow, you know what used to be in my head for 48 years? You know, the thoughts and the yuck and the fear and the anxiety and just the yellow, the icky. The kryptonite. And when you start going, hey, I feel better. Hey, that's gone. Okay, I like that. Really? You like the yuck being gone, do you? You like the peace of mind, you say. And then you just go, oh, I'm just going to keep doing it then. Because I feel better. And I only did 5 minutes there, but I already see the fruits of that labor. And then you 10 months, I said, hey, how you feel? Okay, let me write. And there it was. 10 months reflection. Looks back. Has all these things to say. Now why would he stop doing what he's doing? Why would he do anything else? Why would he change? If at 51 going on to 52 he's doing a bunch of things different. A bunch of things consistently that he was never doing consistently. And he's thinking different. Because he's different. So the things he's looking at are different. And I didn't know what to say when he got done. I was like, okay, you passed. The first person that ever passed being pro you win. And just bravo, just bravo, just bravo, just bravo. And this is kind of when I talk about being, you know, the better you, the newer you, the new and improved you. Not because you lost weight, not because you got taller, not because you changed your hair color, not because you got a bigger house, better place, better car, better job, more money, significant other, child, friend. Nothing. Everything is the same externally. So think about the human stuff. All that's the same. But you, and of all the client examples I gave you today, a year later, 2 years later, 10 months later, 4 years later, you're a better you. What does that mean, I'm a better me? It's just easier being you. And your world as is better as well. So I always talk about, you know, you and your health, you and your job, you and your significant other, you and your family. So you are the common variable with all those different equations. And if you go from a 4 to a 6 and a 6 to an 8, you simultaneously affect all those different equations in your life, making everything better. Not different. Not more. And I started saying things like, you know, my world got smaller. Like I started understanding what was more and more important. And I was like, wow, Zen's health and my health. It's kind of what I care about. I said the other day, I wake up and I was thinking, well, what are my goals? It's like, I want to be able to pay rent and be a good dog owner. And nothing else really came into my mind as far as like a big goal. Like, this is the overwhelming one. And I was like, yeah, that's a small world. That's easier to maintain, sustain, duplicate, replicate, copy. You know what I mean? Wake up. What are you doing today? Rent's not due. I'm just trying to be a good dog owner. You know, it's just like it got clearer. And for me, not gifted with the biggest brain. Yay. You know, there's another client. She's like, okay, got it. I'm going to do it. You know, don't tell me a whole lot. I don't need a whole lot. I'm just going to run with this part. I got it. It was kind of like me. I don't need to be fancy and sophisticated. Sophisticated. I didn't, you know what I mean? So it was like, I just feel better. I'm good. And then that good got better, and I kept saying, my Quan, what I had to be thankful for kept growing and glowing, and I stared at it longer, and the longer I stared at my blessings, the more they seemed to grow, the more they grew as a priority and took over everything, where there wasn't any real gray. I knew what was important, and then I could let go easier to other things that weren't in my power, weren't in my control, and I could really carpe diem the areas that I could control. Who's in my life? Who's out? Who do I share time with? Who do I not share time with? You know, it just got easier. Now again, nothing really changed outside of, you know, less and less human stuff. But here this guy, 10 months later, looking different, walking different, weighing less, doing things consistently he's never done before, getting homework assignments, reflecting, hasn't done that, hasn't written, hasn't done any of this stuff, and he's just glowing. Like, if there's a pro you show off, man, I just wish everybody was doing that stuff. You know, I truly, truly wish my dad was doing that, some of that stuff. And you know, I think as life goes on, more and more bad stuff happens and we get chiseled away to where we're almost broke before we die, before we pass. So when that happens, it normally kind of gets you looking differently at things and reflecting. And again, not because you chose it, but because life is kind of kicking your ass. And that's, again, what I admire about Mr. Morrison. You know, he's just choosing to do this. And again, so I say, hi, honey, you should listen to this podcast. Hey, why don't you contact that guy and get him to train you? He wasn't like Mr. Eagle. Don't tell me what to do. I'm not. Don't tell. You know, this guy's, you know, East Coast Italian. He's like, I just want to learn. I just want to be different. I just want to be better. And it's so inspirational. It's so inspirational. Like, again, I got done and I was like, man, I don't know what to say. I tried to like tell him and just communicate with him how much I was impressed with what he had done. I was kind of hoping he understood it because I just didn't think I explained it that well. And he just took it and ran, and it was just like, and knew I was going to ask for it and I was going to read it. So thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Morrison, for being you and for letting me share that, because that was impeccable. What's the word I was trying to think of? It was sophisticated. I was fixated. I don't even know. I just had a major brain thingy happen. I'm getting old. Anyways, moving on. So the last kind of point I want to hit home is just the time it takes. Now, here's a dude going to be almost 54. Talking dude, it's going to be 52. And they're going, oh, I get this. Oh, it's starting to work. Oh, it's making sense. Getting excited. So to me, when I was talking to just a couple clients, but specifically with Mr. Morrison, I said, I went a really, really long time with just as is, status quo. What was in my head was in my head. There was no questioning it. There was no asking, could I have something different, and can I be in control? It wasn't even a possibility. Picking your thoughts. It was nothing I thought of before I was 50. And, you know, again, not judging myself or being critical. I'm like, that's just kind of the way it is, I think, for a lot of people. What you grow up with, the way it is, and unless someone says, hey, by the way, there's a choice you can make there, or someone steps in going, you know, that's not right. You should have a choice, or you can do different, or, you know what I mean? There has to be something that comes in that opens that up. You know, when Moses said expands, going, hey, there's different. So, you know, for me, it was almost, I had to go through enough bad and not give up where I was like, oh, you know what? At 50, I can just shut up some of these thoughts, that voice, that conversation. And then I can just go to my gratitude list and be thankful. And then by X amount of time, I feel better. Like, that was kind of like, okay, I've been drowning for 50 years and I got a really, really big breath. And that was good. Me likey. I don't need a whole lot different. That's okay. What was that breath from? Right there. What was that feel good thing? Picking my thoughts, quieting the voice. Okay, let me keep doing that. I liked it. And it wasn't at that time that hard if I focused on it. I wasn't distracted. I wasn't multitasking. I could just focus on that. Keeping it small so it got better. So again, the time it took to recognize I had a problem, to recognize that it was a problem that I could work on, and recognize that I was pretty much in total control of fixing that whole deal and quieting that voice to the best of my ability. No one's going to do it better than me. And I could do it. And I did really well at it. But it took hella time. A lot of time. So it's kind of this, hey, get on this, work on this stuff, try it not. Well, when I'm done working, when I'm done with the kids, when I'm done, when I get, then I'm going to. We just don't get time. Last point is, there are times now by default, that muscle that I've been working on and redoing the new healthy habit, like that just sometimes pops up. And I'm like, wow. Like my reaction, not my take time, pause, respond, but my reaction is a pro-you reaction. Why? Because I've been working on it now. Not across the board, not perfect, but when one of those shows up going, wow, that's how I automatically felt. That was my kind of go-to decision, response, reaction, choice. Like, wow. And again, like Mr. Morrison said, you start going, okay. And you can appreciate that. I mean, you being a better you, it just seems to be an easy kind of fit when it's working. You don't really grumble when you're feeling better, especially about you. So I have changed how I've run, my stride, my gait. When I was younger, and I remember this because I was in grade school and this older kid came walking up with me really with his feet pointed out, kind of his knees bent outward, kind of making a face like he was mocking how I was walking. I was like, and I just kind of noticed that just my toes were kind of pointed out as I walked. And I was always a fast kid and, you know, went into martial arts and, you know, it was like nothing was bad, nothing, but I just knew my feet were kind of pointed outward. So in martial arts, to kick with your edge of your heel, you got to be able to kind of roll your ankle over. So I would kind of stand like that and really stretch that part. Well, if you look at my shoes, you know, from late 20s to early 40s, all of them were kind of worn on the edge because my feet were kind of on that edge. So when I first moved back to LA and I was running, a kid was training me and he's like, dude, your feet look so funky when you run because they're almost turning sideways in between. And when you land, there's no way they're landing totally flat. Now, this was nothing I ever sat down and says, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to change that. Again, I would never think, I would say today you can't change how you walk or run. I mean, that was kind of my belief. You know, you are the way you are. And it was over time I just noticed my footprints in the sand changed. They were kind of walking toe out, and now they're pretty straight. Now, it was 5 years ago or so, I was going to run the half a marathon with my younger brother. Started training, running, and there were some things happening, good and bad, but I was foam rolling a lot, and things started moving, but the running training was really, really taking its toll. And I thought at that moment, it was like a fork in the road going, I can keep training and do this and maybe jacked forever, or I can stop the training and the running but keep doing this foam rolling thing because there's something moving. And search if there was a light at the end of the tunnel, like, you know, whatever. The tightness on my left side was, you know, I didn't run for 2 years. I couldn't bend my leg for like 3-4 months. You know, there's some stuff with my left side that were kind of, you know, impeding on my health and fitness. So that's what I did. And again, boom, X amount of time later, started running a little bit. That got better. You know, when I got Zen, I was more, you know, active, walking him, and just kept foam rolling and just kept foam rolling. And the second time when I started running, I mean, I could just tell I've been lifting a little bit. My everything just feels better. Like, but it was that you're running like a machine going, you're running in alignment. You're looking out, you're landing on the ball of your foot right beneath your big toe. Like I could feel that going, wow, this is how you're supposed to run. And it felt good, like no pain or discomfort, which was totally new, which is trippy. I'm going to be 54. And I'm going to be 54 going, hey, this running's starting to feel good. And this last week, I normally would take off Sundays. I didn't take off Sunday. And there's like 3 days where like the last block, I just kind of did this, you know, kick, this sprint. And I'm like, Mr. Morrison, hey, I'm going to go up and wait. I was like, I'm gonna run fast now. You're going to run fast now? I'm not going to take Sunday off. Why? How do I feel good? I'm just going to keep running. So me saying, hey, I feel good, I'm going to keep running, fills me up completely. Why? Because I heard myself just say that. Not, I'm sitting here and I don't have a client and I don't have a girl and I don't talk to my family and blah, blah, blah. I'm not thinking about anything I used to. I'm thinking about, wow, that's cool. Look what I'm doing new. This is, and I said to two of my clients, I asked them, I said, look, I've said this once at about 51. For the first time in my life, I said, but there was a little bit of excitement about my life that I had never felt before. And both of them, boom, emphatically, were like, yep. Both in their 50s. Excited for the first time in this way. About being me, doing things, seeing things like this. I like this ride. It's like your car that you've had, your life got better. I like the car better. If you like the car better, might the ride be better? If the ride's better, might the car feel better? Again, boom. Starts glowing. You're good. Starts just becoming very, very visually clear. And then you focus on it, and then it grows, and it glows, and you know what to focus on. So then you hyper-focus on it, and it grows more, and then you understand it. And this whole time, again, those are purple thoughts. There is no bad. There is no yellow. And then you're thankful. Hey, again, I'm like, wow, I get to sit on this end of the computer and talk to these amazing people, having this amazing journey and growth, and be part of it. And I get to do that. Today, I get today, I get to choose my words, my actions, my thoughts, and my response. I get to do that, and I get to be in control of it, and I get to be highly aware of that. That fills me. See, that's like, you know, I thought about the old, you know, pro you, it's short, it's concise. I mean, no one else trademarked it, so I grabbed it. But just that's it. Focus. Just that. Right there. Feel better. You. Go. Now. Do. Find a little bit better you. And you will never, 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 never go back. All right. I'm going to end. With one more. Author unknown. It's called Even Though. Every day be thankful for what you have and who you are. Even though I clutch my blanket and growl when the alarm rings, thank you, Lord, that I can hear there are many who are deaf. Even though I keep my eyes closed against the morning light as long as possible, thank you, Lord, that I can see many are blind. Even though I huddle in my bed and put off rising, thank you, Lord, that I have the strength to rise. There are many who are bedridden. Even though the first hour of my day is hectic, when socks are lost, toast is burned, tempers are short, my children are so loud, thank you, Lord, for my family. There are many who are lonely. Even though our breakfast table never looks like the pictures in magazines and the menus is at times unbalanced, thank you, Lord, for the food we have. There are many who are hungry. Even though the routine of my job often is monotonous, thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to work. There are many who have no job. Even though I grumble and bemoan my fate from day to day and wish my circumstances were not so modest, thank you, Lord, for life. So just remember, people, you are worth it. Hello, and welcome to your Pro You moment. And that's what it is. It's a Pro You moment. It's for you. It's for the betterment of you. It's for that journey of you becoming a better you. The best you that you can. One moment at a time. So let's demonstrate that newfound pro-you ability by controlling the things that we can. Seated on the floor, cross our legs if you can. Let's begin with closing our eyes. I'm going to draw that inhale through the nose. Exhale out the mouth. Just elongate that breath. Just slow it down. Just focus on it. Make it last a little longer. Demonstrate your control of your breath. Meanwhile, our neck is neutral, shoulders over your hips, navel tucked into the spine. If you feel any aches or pains, stress, just breathe through it. Try to locate that. Try to let go of it. Any unwanted thoughts or ideas pop in to that beloved space between your ears, just calmly, quietly ask it to leave and return to your breath. Let's do this. Have those thoughts. Think of that to the best of your ability for 180 seconds. I will let you know when time is up. You may begin now. Congratulations on another successful Pro U moment. You know, I lacked confidence. I was not comfortable. I was not convicted. Didn't know I could stop or change my thoughts. And I didn't have a lot of faith. But slowly, over time, when I got through what I needed to get through, and I kept making good choices, I began to reap the fruits of my labor. And I was talking to a client, and I said, you know, you find these little breadcrumbs, just enough to make you go, I'm going to keep going this way. I liked that moment. I liked how I felt. I liked those thoughts. It's just enough to keep you headed in that direction, down that path. It's not perfect. It's not easy. It's not familiar. But for me, there was just always enough to keep going. There's always enough feel good with the choices I made to keep going. And when you're now helping people do that, it's extremely rewarding. So deem yourself worthy. Plant that seed. Begin today, little by little. Whatever it is will become more familiar, will become easy, you'll get better at it. You'll feel a sense of control, a sense of power. Controlling the things you can and letting go of the things that you cannot. And this will make you a better you. And it's truly tough to backpedal. Once you're redeeming yourself, really feeling better, making better choices. And it's easier being you in your life as is better. This is my hope for you, my wish, and my prayer. May you find peace, joy, comfort along your pro-you path. Peace, and God bless.